Ready, set, wrestle. Ha! 1, 2, 3, kick.
Dibs on the red lights. Dibs on the red lights. All right, how about this? Ready, wrestle.
Wait, oh, are we starting now? Or is that what you're going to say when we do start?
We're starting now.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Dave, let's tease this interview. Tell us about these guys. We're coming back from break. You hear an interview. Dave, tell us about this interview. Just kind of give us a sneak peek into it.
So the first time I ran into these guys, I went to an independent wrestling match, and I met Andrew Sowell. Andrew is the kind of a burly guy. He's tall, bald, and a big guy. And I watched him wrestle and got to talk to him after the match and enjoyed talking to him. And then when I go to see the Rey Mysterio, when Rey was in Salt Lake City recently, they were doing a tag match as ADHD. And they have this little gimmick where they bring cheeseburgers to the ring with them.
And I love cheeseburgers.
Oh, man. And they talk a lot about being too cheesy. And so I enjoyed their work in the ring, and after the match, I saw them and was talking to them, and I actually bought a T-shirt of theirs, which has looks like two guys holding a big old cheeseburger, and it says, "Too cheesy," and I couldn't wear it at the time.
Yummy.
So I started thinking when you and I were talking about doing this tag team, it would be kind of interesting to talk to a tag team, a young tag team, and see what they think about tag team wrestling. And we had about a 15-minute interview that we conducted in Ogden, Utah, at a restaurant, actually, you know, sitting there just talking. So it's a lot of fun, and we're going to have that interview, and we're going to start it right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Wait for the signal. Wait for it. Let's go.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
And here we are on Turnbuckle Trash, and we are actually at a restaurant in Ogden, Utah. And I've got my favorite local tag team with me, the guys that are too cheesy. Yeah, it's ADHD. You guys, Tom Chad and Andrew Sowell with UCW Zero. That's where I first met you guys at. We're going to start with Andrew. First off, you got to tell me what ADHD stands for, because we're going to take some pictures later. We all three got shirts on
here. For sure. ADHD... Well, when we're good guys, it stands for amazingly, dashingly, handsomely dudes. But if we're playing
a little dirty,
we're amazingly, dangerously, hazardously dudes. So that's what that stands for.
But you're very handsome in the first place.
Obviously.
No, I didn't say that.
That goes without saying.
It's so pretty. You know what I'm talking about. Before we start talking about tag team wrestling, I want to talk to you about your background. Where are you from? And what you've been doing over the last few years, and what got you involved in professional wrestling?
Well, actually, I'm from Oakland, California, so the Bay Area out there. And wrestling's always been a passion of mine. I actually did look into learning how to be a professional wrestler out there in the Bay Area, but I'm not sure if you've ever seen the documentary Beyond the Mat?
Yes.
Okay, APW is featured in that, which the guy, he's kind of a... He wasn't painted in the greatest light, but besides that, anyway, APW is where I looked into training, and it was rather expensive for how much I could afford at the time, so I never pursued that dream. About 4 years ago, I moved out here from Oakland out here to Salt Lake City. Felt the urge coming again to start at least looking into professional wrestling, and it's something I thought I'd be good at. Looked around, found UCW Zero. And the price was very affordable for everything that they teach us. Yeah. So I went with that and been trained ever since.
Yeah, about 3 years now?
I started August 2014, so actually it will be 3 years this August.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk a little bit about maybe an influencer. As you said, you grew up in the Oakland in the Bay Area, and I don't know a lot about West Coast wrestling. Except what I've seen when the WWE and stuff like that. Was there local promotions or something there that got you involved, got you interested, or was it the you know, the TV shows?
I was for sure. Back during the Monday Night Wars, I was definitely a WWF guy, or WWE. But honestly, there were a few promotions, APW definitely being one of them. There's still a few promotions out there, from what I understand, but they're not they're not the greatest. But then again, you know, that's everywhere.
It's a crazy business. I know that. But we're going to talk to Tom Chad here. Tom, you're a Utah guy, right?
Oh yes, born and raised right here in Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City, Utah. Now, let's talk a little bit about your background. I know you've had some military. Where did you grow up in the Salt Lake area, and were you in athletics?
I grew up in the little township of Magna out in Salt Lake County, and I did football my sophomore year, and then I did wrestling all 3 years, which was just a lot more fun to me because I got to depend on myself and didn't have to really depend on a team in order to win, which I had a blast doing that. And then I tried to go to college for a little bit, and I didn't like the schooling as much as I liked the partying part of college, so I decided where better to party as a single person than in the United States Navy, so you're encouraged to party there.
Yeah.
So I did 6 years in the active duty, loved every minute of it. I ended up meeting the woman of my life, married her, and that was the time to get out of the military and become a family man.
I gotta say, I've told you this when I talked to you the first time I ever met you. You look like an old school wrestler. You've got the same build, you've got the same look, you almost have the same persona in the ring of Stan the Lariat Hansen, one of my favorites from back in the day. How many times have you heard that now?
I actually hear that quite a bit, and to be honest, I wasn't allowed to watch wrestling growing up. My parents didn't like it, so I didn't really know who he was. And so people always ask me if I kind of base my character off him, which is no. What kind of happened was I was working as a farmhand a lot at the time when I started wrestling, so I kind of just brought work into play, and it kind of mushed together real well.
Well, Tom, I wanted to ask you a little bit about some of your influences. You said you didn't get to watch it a lot when you were younger, but now when you watch wrestling, what do you say, man? I like the way he does his stuff. What kind of people are you talking about now?
I like more of the exciting, fun people. The people who look like they're just having fun in the ring. He may be a bad guy right now, but one of my favorites when he was with Chris Jericho was Kevin Owens. They just looked like they were having fun. They were being mean, but they were just having a blast at it the entire time.
Now, Zane and I have talked about it a couple times in the podcast. I don't know if you've ever seen KO when he was Kevin Steen in ROH, and he did a program with El Generico with Sami Zayn, and they did a ladder match that is incredible. If you haven't seen it, you got
to
go on YouTube and find this
one.
Let's talk a little bit about tag team wrestling, because that's what this entire podcast, or most of it's going to be about. You guys have had the UCW belts, UCW Zero belts, and you dropped them a couple months ago. Who did you drop them to, Andrew?
We dropped him to the Aluma Ninjas.
Turkey buttholes.
Now, obviously you're very good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And you enjoy being around each other, because you can see that when you're with each other and when you're in the ring. And I was going to ask you about the preparation, because we are kind of focusing on the tag match. What do you guys do that might be different for a tag match than you do for a singles match? We'll ask Andrew.
Obviously, you know, like, a lot of our stuff is comedy based, so we always, since there's two of us and we kind of play the fools, we always look for different ways that can put us in that light.
You bring cheeseburgers to the ring.
Obviously, because, I mean, we're too cheesy.
Yeah, the last time I saw you, it was at the event with Rey Mysterio Jr.
Mm-hmm.
You guys bringing out cheeseburgers, and I started laughing. I think you even smashed him in the guy's face. But what kind of preparation when you're training? You guys train together. I know you guys have some singles matches too, but do you train as the tag team trying to get your moves down? Let's go to Tom about that.
Yes, during training, there's always a whole bunch of stuff going on because everyone's trying to figure out things that work best for them. So when we're mainly focusing on tag matches, anytime there's a drill, Andrew and I try and stick together. That way we can be more familiar with each other while we're in the ring.
Yeah. Now, a few months ago, when I got to meet Andrew, we were at a UCW event, Zane and I. Zane was doing some interviews in the ring with some of you guys. And I walked over to you and asked how your head was, because you had a knot on your head.
Mm-hmm.
You took a chair shot.
That's right.
I mean, a very stiff one. How long did that knot take to go down?
At least a couple months. That was there for a while. That was quite a shiner, for sure.
Oh, man. I mean, you were rubbing your head and everything. But so you're with UCW0, and we talk about you guys a lot because you are local. And one of the things that, as a podcast, we like to try to talk about the independents a little bit more, the guys that are just learning. There's a Fight TV app now. There's also Powerbomb TV, which, by the way, still I haven't gotten my free subscription I won off an internet contest.
Oh, no.
They still haven't given it to me yet, but I'm not bitter at all.
Do you want us to go talk to him?
Yeah, you got my bodyguards going to take care of him for me?
Oh, yeah, ADHD, we'll get it done.
I'm sure you will. I'm scared now. But you said you were in Elko, Nevada with Martin Casals a couple of weeks ago. What are you hoping to do now? Maybe let's talk about maybe 2 years down the road, 5 years down the road. What's in it for Andrew Sowell?
Going to the best promotion that I can, showing that Andrew Sowell is the man that does everything so well.
Does it so well.
That's right.
And Todd, what do you hope?
Well, it's all about having fun for me, and the thing about it being fun is it's something I love doing.
Yeah.
Getting paid to do something I love is always worth it, so hopefully down the line a little bit, start making some big bucks off and having even more fun.
And you know what? Being a quasi-entertainer myself, it makes a big difference when people realize that you're there, you're not just going through the motions. And I think that's what you guys have, because at the event with Rey Mysterio Jr. as your headliner, you guys were interacting with the fans. You were selling T-shirts. You weren't just selling T-shirts. You were talking to the fans. You took time to talk to me, and I bought one of your T-shirts because I like you guys, you know. So because most of your events are at the training center, and it's a fairly small crowd, but you guys had over 1,000 people at this event. What was that kind of crowd and that kind of energy for you?
That was something that I'd never experienced before, and it kind of, you know, let me, I guess, put it into perspective that this is something that I do indeed want to pursue, and I want to see larger and larger crowds every time I go out there.
Yeah. So, Tom, one quick thing about that event itself. You guys were in a tag match. You were bringing out the cheeseburgers, and let's give a plug in to the guys from Crown Burger in Salt Lake City. I know you guys love Crown Burger.
Yes, we are at an undisclosed burger joint right now because we've got to stay true to our sponsors. We love you, Crown Burger. And if you're looking for a great, delicious, and decently healthy burger, go to Crown Burger.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Crown Burger in the Salt Lake City area, they have the burger and then they put pastrami on it. Oh, my word. It is, and it's been featured on the Food Network with Guy Fieri before. Yeah. And if you ever get to Salt Lake City, you got to find a Crown Burger.
That's right.
So, once again, guys, I want to ask you just one more question. Tag teams. The teams that you're seeing on TV now, whether it's WWE, ROH, or now Global Force. I don't know if you heard about them changing the name to Global Force from Impact. But some of the tag teams that you say, man, I like what they do.
I mean, now we kind of like... was it Breezango?
Fashion Police.
Well, I was going to... it hurts my heart, but Big Cass and Enzo.
I love them. Yeah.
In ROH, Gorillas of Destiny, War Machine, and then Impact. That used to be about the Broken Hardys, but, I mean, obviously, they're in WWE right now.
Yeah. And War Machine just won the IGPW event over the weekend, got their tag titles. Maybe some of the ones that you really like, Tom?
One of my favorites, you can tell these boys are really having fun out there and enjoy doing it, is the New Day.
Oh, yeah.
You see those guys, and no matter what's going on, they're always having a blast. Even when things are a little rough, it looks fun for them.
Yeah. Well, we are talking tag teams. We're going to talk, we've had people on Facebook and Twitter coming in and talking about their favorite tag teams, old school and new school. I, of course, of the three of us that, with Ajay, Zane, and myself, I'm the old man of the group, so I know the old school stuff. But it is an art form that is different than the singles wrestling, because you've got to depend on those two other guys, sometimes more than that, in the ring. So ADHD... thank you very much, Tom, Chad, Andrew Sowell. And if you just keep looking for them, they're going to pop up on some of the independents here pretty soon, because they've got a great personality, they got a great gimmick, and Hey, it's just a lot of fun. Guys, thank you very much.
Thank you. And if you're interested, check us out on Vimeo. UCW is at. That's where we show all of our shows and stuff. So sign up to that.
Okay, Vimeo and Tom. Tom, yeah. So let's kind of end this up. One more thing. Tell us, just maybe cut a promo on Andrew over here.
If you're looking for a big bald body bruising machine, that's the man to get right there. Ain't no one bigger, no one tougher, other than yours truly, Tom Chad.
And a response there, Andrew.
Tom Chad is the man, but he's definitely not the man that does everything so well.
And for that, we'll leave it at that. This is Dave Denton, Turnbuckle Trash. And by the way, I want to let everyone know, and you guys probably haven't heard this yet either, Turnbuckle Trash is now part of the Geeks of the Industry podcast network. We just were added the very first day today. Chunky Larry and MSR and those guys, they do a great job too. So we're really excited to be part of their network and trying to grow our little podcast too. This is Dave Denton. We'll be back with more on Turnbuckle Trash.
Dave, what a great interview that was. Very enlightening. And I love the personality they bring to the microphone. And like you said, you could see them up and coming. You really could, and I definitely could too, and I don't even see him wrestle yet. I'm going off based on this interview. I think they're going to be something special, Dave.
Still learning the ropes, and actually I talked to them about that after the interview. I talked to them, you know, they've both been in it for about 3 years, and I said, you're learning a lot, aren't you? He says, oh, we got so much more to learn. And I thought that was telling because they're out there, they're asking questions, they're performing, they are doing everything they can do to better themselves, and I think with some proper coaching and a couple of breaks, you could see them down the road in other promotions.
Coming up next, we're going to talk about Great Balls of Fire. Yes, pay-per-view, Raw product. You're listening to Zane Peterson. That's David Denton. And AJ Salveson here. This is Turnbuckle Trash. We'll be right back after a word from the geeks of the industry.
Great Balls of Fire.
Then, with all my might, I kicked him as hard as I could in his testicles.
Hey, MSR.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, do you like geeky things?
I love geeky things, Chunky Larry.
How much do you love geeky things?
I would say at least a 7.
A 7? That's
yeah.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
I mean, I have a few places on the internet I go to.
Well, the one place you want to go on the internet is Geeks of the industry.com, because it's got geeks at the beginning.
Oh, that's a good point. Geeks of the industry.com, you say. What is that about?
Well, you know, it's got a little bit of everything. It's got cartoons, movies, music, video games, wrestling. You know, anything that's geeky that you're into, you'll probably be able to find at geeks of the industry.com.
I can watch all of those things?
No. It's a podcast website. You listen to things.
Oh.
Ooh, podcasting. You can download them from the website, or you can, you know, subscribe to one of the shows on Stitcher or iTunes.
What was that website again?
That's geeksoftheindustry.com, my good friend.
I'm going to go right now.
Yeah, sorry, my brother. You've got to get your own.
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
This isn't a social event. This is a competition where there's one winner. You don't see the outfits before a fight playing with jacks and juice boxes. No, they talk trash and they beat the crap out of each other.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
And over the next segment on Turnbuckle Trash, we're going to talk a little bit about Great Balls of Fire. And we have some of our predictions that we had made earlier in the week, and now we're going to tell you how we did. So, Juice, let's talk about these predictions and some other things, okay? I think we both did all right on the Neville and Tozawa match for the Cruiserweight Championship. Because Neville did win, so we both picked that one. So good for us.
It's that one was a tough one too. It wasn't like it was a clear cut winner. I feel like it wouldn't be a clear cut winner, but That was, I'm going to go ahead and call it a good guess by us.
Yeah. An educated guess. That's the only kind of education I ever got, right? Went to 3 years of a junior college and still didn't graduate.
It does, whatever it takes, Dave.
All right.
I thought it was a good match. A lot of athleticism shown, especially from Neville, but it was, I mean, there's a lot of people who did predict Neville, even though it was kind of a 50-50 thing. So good for all of us.
Yes. Educated guess. Then the grudge match between Big Kaz and Enzo Amore, which you still have trouble saying, right? Say it with me, Amore.
A moron?
That's who I am, huh? And they did the thing that I asked them not to do. It was a squash match.
Yeah, I kind of figured it. I think I actually told you it would be. Yeah. I can't remember right. But I remember saying something to that effect. I felt like they would... I feel like they'd make it a squash match. I don't know if it was for just to kill the storyline. I mean, it was, so with that being said, does it ruin the storyline now? Does it totally demolish it?
You know, I wonder what they're going to do with Enzo now. I mean, he's so good on the mic. Are they going to move him to the cruiserweights?
Yeah.
That could be. I mean, maybe have him all going against Neville. Hey, I never thought about that one, but it was a squash match won by the 7-footer, and you can't teach that. Also, we're talking about Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns. What a slobber knocker.
You know, and you even said that. You said it would be just like that.
Yeah.
That it would be one of those things where, I guess, that both of them were going to be beating the crap out of each other. It was kind of the last man standing, if you will.
Mm-hmm. I tell you what, I was kind of surprised that as physical as it was, and then the big change at the very end, as Strowman won when he throws, or when Roman misses the spear and goes into the ambulance, so that's an official win for Strowman. And then Roman Reigns, a lot of people are calling it a heel turn because he gets out and beats on Braun Strowman with a chair right on the arm, and then he throws him into the ambulance, drives off in the ambulance, and puts it in reverse, in a high-speed reverse, and just goes straight back into a semi-truck. And it was a good segment. So does this mean Roman Reigns is now officially a heel?
I think they kind of gave up on the whole face thing. Like, they've tried so many ways to bring him to face with the crowd, and it just isn't working. And I felt like that last attack really – and by the way, that was a pretty violent attack.
That was
pretty legit beating that he that Roman Reigns laid upon Strowman. But yeah, he's going heel because it wasn't ever working in his face, which is really, it's too bad that the crowd kind of depicted that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, maybe Reigns kills it as a heel now, and he has plenty to feed off of. I mean, honestly, he has plenty of motivation to feed off of to be a heel because the crowd hated his guts anyways.
Yeah, it wasn't even a John Cena 50-50. It was probably like 70-30.
No, not even close.
Yeah, you did pick Roman Reigns, by the way, but he did lose, so... I didn't pick anybody. I kind of hedged on that one. So,
what a sissy.
Thank you so much. Then we had the tag team match with Cesaro and the Hardy Boys. I will tell you this. You picked the loser. The Hardy Boys lost. I picked the winners, the people that set the bar. We are the bar. I am also the bar. Cesaro and Sheamus won.
Hey, am I out of character to say, or am I out of line to say that it didn't look like Matt and Jeff were on the same page throughout that match? I mean, I just watching it, just some of the chemistry that you usually would be used to seeing from them with double moves and such, just didn't look like it was there all night long with them.
Well,
yeah,
I think that's pretty good analysis there, because I think they're working to get Jeff and Matt both into the single scene, get rid of the tag team stuff, and maybe go with a broken gimmick again.
You have to do a better job than that.
Yeah.
I mean, because if I'm seeing it on TV, I can't imagine like the crowd being like, what the heck is this?
The women's title for the Raw brand saw Little Miss Bliss, Alexa Bliss, against the boss, Sasha Banks. And you had predicted Little Miss Bliss, and I saw predicted Little Miss Bliss. So we were both right that time.
And with this match, I feel like they really do hate each other, by the way. I think there's really a genuine, like, dislike, distaste. Just, yeah, don't cross me. Don't talk about my nails. I won't talk about your perm or whatever.
Yeah.
They just don't like each other.
And, you know, technically we were both wrong because Alexa Bliss did lose the match because she walked away and was disqualified. But you can't lose the belt on a technicality like that. And so she's still the champion. So we weren't both right. We were wrong.
Hey, do you think we get a rematch at SummerSlam?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, me too.
And there's been some talk on the internet about Bayley maybe turning heel soon. So are they going to put that in there with a feud with Sasha Banks?
It's probably about time, though.
Yeah,
honestly.
It is. It really is. Kind of interesting stuff. One of the most entertaining matches, as far as I was concerned, was The Miz with his Miztourage
Dean Ambrose?
Yeah, Dean Ambrose. I was sitting there, I was trying to think of something else, because I'm going to ask you a question. Have you recently seen any of the old Star Wars movies? And I'm going to ask you why.
No.
But because of my job, I'm looking for some sound clips from Star Wars to use on my radio program on Monday morning. And I was looking at some of the quotes from Han Solo. And
oh, God, Dave.
No, you got to look at this and look at the way Ambrose acts and Han Solo acts in the first Star Wars film. It's very similar, this, you know, chip on my shoulder type stuff. And the Force was with me when I made that observation.
No, it was not. Dave, gosh dang it.
Gosh dang it?
Don't no, gosh it dang it me. No, it was not with you. There is no Force. It's all fake. No. So
it sounds kind of
and no.
Yeah. But
and
really,
no.
If you look at it, you would see it. You need to look at it, okay?
Okay, so how does this relate to Dean Ambrose and The Miz? I'm sorry, but I'm really lost right now.
No, when I'm watching some clips from the very first Star Wars movie, 1978, the way that Han Solo's character was portrayed by Harrison Ford is kind of the way Dean Ambrose approaches his character.
Okay.
Kind of that chip on the shoulder, really smart-alecky, snarky comments, and... Really, check it out. I'm telling you, you will agree with me.
I highly doubt it, but
agree with me. Well, the match itself was entertaining with The Miz and The Miztourage and the beautiful Maryse retaining the Intercontinental Championship belt. I thought it was a fun match. I love Bo Dallas and Henning, boy, I'm just drawing a blank here, as the Miztourage. But, boy, Henning comes out last night, and he's got his hair all slicked and parted on the side. He looked like a fifth grader.
A fifth? Wow. That's
He looks so different than what you would think he would look. He had a suit on. Bo Dallas had some really cool-looking clothes on, too. It wasn't a suit. It was more casual, a vest with a black T-shirt and almost camouflage.
All right, thanks for the fashion segment. That's great.
Stop those shoes. Don't go with those pants. Hey, we'll call Breezango and as the fashion police. I'm weird, aren't I?
So the Miz did get the win, correct?
Right. And?
And I picked Dean Ambrose, didn't I?
Yes, you did. And I picked the Miz.
Well, yippity-doo.
Now I got a new one, yippity-doo. Well, a match that you and I had talked about with Bray Wyatt and Seth Rollins, and we were saying, boy, you know, what they're going to do with Bray Wyatt? And we both picked Seth Rollins to win the match. We were both incorrect because my man Bray Wyatt wins a pay-per-view match. How about that?
It's really stunning because we've talked about, and we talked before about his lack of big victories in big matches. Like, he just can't catch a break. And he finally does by beating a very veteran-style-worthy opponent in Seth Rollins. Guys, all the guys he's lost to, he beats Seth Rollins. That doesn't make sense to me. And so, I mean, I don't know if the creative team has a different kind of different path from. I don't know where you go from this, especially for Seth, who loses all the momentum possibly by losing to Bray Wyatt, but for Bray to get all the momentum he needs to beat Seth Rollins. And so it kind of twists everything in really different directions. It'll be kind of interesting where we go as we head to SummerSlam.
Can you say SummerSlam? They're setting up another one for SummerSlam. But Bray Wyatt cheated because he thumbed Seth in the eye right before he hit the Sister Abigail.
Ric Flair cheated and he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, right. And then the big match of the night. Oh, my word. I've got to say this, and I told my wife last night after I turned off the pay-per-view. That might have been the best match I have ever seen Brock Lesnar in. Brock Lesnar, Samoa Joe, tore down the house. Awesome
match. Left with about, I think, 3 minutes. There was no time clock, of course. I'm kind of estimating here. Without 3 minutes left in the match, I thought Samoa Joe won. Uh-huh. In fact, this morning when I got on the phone with you, I was like, dude, can you believe Samoa Joe won? And you're like, he didn't win. And I was like, yes, he did. He won. And you're like, no, he didn't. And I said, yeah, no, he did this and this. And you're like, no, AJ, he threw an F5, Brock Lesnar did, and got him for the win.
Yeah.
And I was kind of angry. Actually, no, wait, I still am angry.
But it was a great physical contest. Joe pretty much dominated. He got that clutch on. I like to call it a sleeper hold. That's what it is. And Brock was selling it so well, he was either holding his breath or something because his face was turning beet red, like there was no blood supply going to his brain. And then just out of nowhere, kind of like a Randy Orton, he gets this F5 and does get the victory. But I think you and I, when we were talking about this one time, we were saying this is an opportunity for them to put over Joe even though he might not win. And I think they did that last night. Good booking.
And I think this leads to SummerSlam. Where does it? I mean, does it set up another rematch? Probably not. But I think Samoa Joe still stays up there in that top tier of the group, and he'll get another title shot down the line.
You know, I will not be surprised if it doesn't turn out to be maybe a fatal four-way
when
you get Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, Samoa Joe, and Brock Lesnar in there. I just wouldn't be surprised because we've had this probably a heel turn by Roman Reigns, and Braun Strowman will be after him again. And then you've got Samoa Joe and Brock Lesnar had just a great match. So he'll be saying, I deserve a rematch. And just don't be surprised if that doesn't happen.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, and I feel like, with this storyline, just kind of where it travels in it, and like it could go in with any direction. But I think, as you said too, Samoa Joe's going to get that push that he needs, not only from the crowd, but from the creative team as well. He's going to be up there for a little bit. And really, you think about the opponents that Lesnar's faced, not The Undertaker, not Goldberg, not Kurt Angle, not John Cena. No one has put up a fight the way Samoa Joe did, by the way, to Lesnar. Like, I've never seen it like that, which was, I walked away thinking, yeah, Joe won that match, only to hear that he lost today. I went and we watched the highlights, and just, I mean, that's a heartbreaking loss for Samoa Joe. But that's a big time. At the same time, if you believe in moral victories, you got one there for Samoa. He'll be there for a while.
Yeah, I liked it because you haven't heard the crowd chant like they used to in TNA Impact for Joe. They used to chant, Joe is gonna kill you. And you actually heard that chant last night. And I really liked the way that both competitors fought in the match. It's not often that I will say the main event lived up to the hype, But I think the main event lived up to the hype last night. Very impressed.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would agree with that 100%.
I would have loved to have seen Joe win, because I think you need a full-time champion instead of a part-timer like Brock Lesnar. But mm-hmm. I am not upset about it by any means, like some people, you know, they get upset about some little slight they see from one of their favorite wrestlers. But, man, it was just great, a very, very great, very, very good to great pay-per-view.
It was, you know, I give it a B plus. I think the pay per view that was good. There was a couple matches that were duds, but I mean, other than that, it was really good and really impressed with it. It'll be really interesting to see. We have a July 23rd pay per view from SmackDown. Mm-hmm. Which one is that?
Battleground in Philadelphia.
Yes, Battleground, SmackDown's product, and then it all kind of culminates with SummerSlam. It'll be interesting to see where both products land on their feet. Again, in the SummerSlam, who is where, title contentions, and what superstar has what shot at to what title. Will be just, you know, it's all kind of a build up to that, and that's what makes it so much fun. But like you said, it was a great pay per view last night.
Well, one other quick thing before you go, I wanted to say that Great Balls of Fire did live up to its name, because they had three moves last night that included Great Balls of Fire. Listen, hear me out here, okay? In the
Neville, would rather not, but okay.
The Neville Tozawa match, Neville dropped Tozawa over the top rope spread eagle, and goodness gracious, Great Balls of Fire.
Goodness gracious, Great Balls of Fire.
You see where I'm going with this, right? Yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah. The Bray Wyatt and Seth Rollins match. Seth was on the top rope in the corner, and Bray knocks his legs out between him, and goodness gracious, Great Balls of Fire.
Goodness gracious, Great Balls of Fire.
And then in the Samoa Joe and Brock Lesnar match, Samoa Joe grabs a hold of the official when they're in fighting really close, and then does kind of a mule kick to Brock Lesnar, and goodness gracious, Great Balls of Fire. So it lived up to its name.
Goodness gracious, Great Balls of Fire.
Speaking of Great Balls of Fire, I was spending a lonely night at the arena and was quite depressed and just bored and blah. So I went on YouTube and started watching videos of all sorts of themes, interviews, sports games, you name it. Then I ran into a 16-minute video of 600 Great Balls of Fire nutshots. And I never laughed so hard in my life.
The only reason you guys laugh at that is because they know how bad it hurts.
It's so funny, though. Oh, the reaction is awesome. Dave, if you ever get bored in life, if you ever feel down, if you ever feel beaten and just depressed, I want you to Google or YouTube 600 Great Balls of Fire shots, and you will feel reprieved, happy, motivated to go at life like you never have before.
And singing Soprano.
And, what?
And singing Soprano.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
So there you go. Have at it. Great Balls of Fire. Gosh, you know, Dave, you really came up with that. That's actually kind of good.
Then, with all my might, I kicked him as hard as I could in his testicles.
Hey, everybody, just want to thank you so much for tuning in to Turnbuckle Trash. Again, make sure you follow our newest, if you will, fraternity, Geeks of the Industry Podcast Network. Again, you can find them at www.geeksoftheindustry.com. You can find us on Facebook at Turnbuckle Trash. You can find us on Twitter at Turnbuckle Trash. You can also email us at wpfpod@gmail.com. For Zane Peterson, David Denton, Audrey Salveson, again, we want to give a shout-out and a big thanks to ADHD for their time in doing an interview with us. You can make sure you tune into them, follow them around where they're going to be. As we said earlier, we think they're going to be big, and they'll be up and coming. They're going to make some noise. We're excited for them. You've been listening to Turnbuckle Trash. Again, geeksoftheindustry.com. It's www.geeksoftheindustry.com. Make sure you check out all the podcasts going on over there. exciting stuff, and we're glad to be a part of the new fraternity and the brotherhood. So again, thank you so much, and so long.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair, woo!
Great. You know what? Thanks. Appreciate that. I'm going to tell everybody you've never seen Top Gun. Everyone's going to laugh at you now. So, boom, roasted.
Hey, people look at me and they start laughing.
Let me tell you about another one of my favorites during the same era.
Oh, you didn't know? Well, your ass better call somebody.
I kicked him as hard as I could in his testicles.